Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Regular church service, and I've got some things that I've been doing in a series that I want to continue this morning. And then after that, we're going to jump right into a graduation ceremony for our Leaders Academy students. And I just want to do that on Sundays because the Leaders Academy students have been a part of everything that's going on with the church, and I think we as a church need to send them off. And so today, though, before we do that, I want to go ahead and preach a word and give what God has given me for our church and for those that are hearing on podcast. And I just think it's really important that we receive the word on a daily basis, and especially on Sunday, that you receive the word on Sunday because we are here to equip the church for the work of the ministry. Come on, we've got a job to do, people, every one of us, through the week to go out and do what God's called us to. If you have your Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, this is going to be our verse we have all day today through all that we're doing. It says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. Everyone say perfection. I'm not saying that I've already reached perfection. Paul's talking here, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature, and I pray that I'm talking to a bunch of you this morning, but let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. You know, if the church would just function with a pressing on, with the continual reaching the prize that God's called, we're working towards, if we would do that instead of getting so caught up on the disagreements in the body of Christ, we'd get somewhere as a church. Now, I'm not talking just Christian ministries. I'm talking about the church, the saints, the people of God. We'd be getting somewhere, but what we're doing is we're continually frustrated and we throw up our hands and say, well, nobody's perfect. But the Bible was real clear when you read this that perfection is something we're in need of. And today I pray that as I'm speaking the word of God in different areas, that you will see areas that you need to correct in your thinking so that we can reach the perfection that Christ Jesus asked us to possess when he first came into our heart and life. And see, as we read the scripture and we get an understanding, we understand that perfection is attainable. Some of you go, really? But nobody's perfect. Perfection is attainable. Well, Pastor, how do you get that? I don't know that I agree with that. Perfection is attainable because you're as perfect as you'll ever be spiritually when you accept Jesus into your heart and life. Because his perfection becomes your perfection spiritually. But physically and mentally, you're a work in progress for the rest of your life here on earth. And here's what I want you to know. That work that you are in progress of is what he sees as perfect. See, you're perfect when you're involved with the work. You're perfect when your heart's in the right place towards God. And so I've been talking about this for a few weeks, and I just want to make sure we set that up. Matthew 5:48, nobody's perfect. The Bible says in Matthew 5:48, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And I believe that the devil has convinced Christians that they can't walk in perfection, therefore why try? I can't be perfect, so it's just who I am. He is perfecting you and I if we are willing to be perfected and we're doing our part. The nature of the devil, we've talked a lot about this, is pride and rebellion. And here's the thing. God wants to perfect you. God wants you to walk in perfection. God wants you to do that, and he wants your heart totally sold out to him. And as your heart's totally sold out to him, he sees you as perfect. Well, how do I know? Here's how you know that you're walking in perfection. It's when correction works in your life. Perfection through correction is what we're going to be talking about. Matthew 11:29, Jesus said, "Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart." The devil, pride and rebellion is his character. Jesus is humble and gentleness. Hebrews 12:1 talks all about correction. And you can go through that and you can read and you can go, wow, wow, wow. I've been talking about this and I'll read it more over the next few weeks. But for the sake of time today, I'm just going to say that's where I'm talking from. And if we don't get to the point in our life where we can receive correction, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We just really are. We've got to get to a place where we can be corrected. Come on, church, we've got, if we're wanting the perfection that Christ says that we can obtain, then we've got to be corrected to get there. Have you ever read the word and go, man, I just wish that wasn't in there. Well, why do you ever think that? Because it corrected you. The word will correct you. The word will help you see things about yourself that you hadn't been seeing on your own. The word kind of called it out. Well, I don't know if you've ever sat in a service and heard a preacher preaching or a Sunday school teacher teach. Maybe it was just someone giving a testimony and you go, that hurt. What is that? That's acknowledgement of an area that you hadn't really been aware of before, and now you're aware of it, and you just got corrected. Now, what are you going to do with that? And see, all of us can receive that a lot of times pretty easy when it comes from the Word of God, even when it comes from a pastor who really don't know anything about you. But when the pastor knows something about you, and I've had this happen, I know you were talking to me. What are you talking about? I just preaching what God is. No, I know. My wife said something, didn't she? Or, you've been talking to my husband. I know y'all went to dinner this week, and I know this is what you're talking. See, on and on and on, we'll sit here, and we'll get an attitude of, don't correct me. Don't correct me. If you're married, I know that we all deal with this thought. The last person we want correcting us is our spouse. Come on, I know. I don't want my spouse telling me anything. Don't you correct me. Don't you? Anybody can say what they want, but not the spouse. If the spouse starts telling you that you need to be corrected in an area, it's fighting time at home. Don't you be telling me all my, I know, because the spouse knows more about all of your areas that you're trying to work on than anybody else. And when they pull that out and they say something about it, it's, who? You know why adult children have a really hard time living at home? Because they get to a place in their life where they don't want to be corrected anymore. And mom and dads have lived long enough to know that you still need some correction. And they'll call out some areas that you need to get corrected. And I'm moving. Well, you might want to get a job first. But here's the thing. As a child or an adult, it don't matter what season we're in. In the kingdom of God as a Christian, you need corrected. Come on, you need corrected. You need corrected. Now, I'm not talking about a tornado or a hurricane or a fire or something that come in. Well, God's correct. Now, I'm not talking about correction. I'm not talking about a curse upon you, because we are redeemed from the curse of the law. So I want to make sure that we've drawn a line there, and I'm not going and reteaching all that. But we're talking about correction that calls out an area. Our heart is right, but we didn't really know that we were doing this. And all of a sudden, I become aware of it, and I've got to make some changes. You know, I've heard people say, you know, my child is just so wonderful. I don't ever need to correct them. Let me tell you what I know when I hear that. And I've heard it. My child is so wonderful, I don't ever need... I know that I don't want to be around that child. Oh, are you kidding me? My wife's going, you didn't just say that. What I'm saying is that child needs corrected, because all children need corrected. And I'll take that a step further. All adults need corrected. They need areas that's just got to be fixed. God gets us from one place to the next because he loves us. And church, today, hear me. Those he loves, he corrects. It's what the scripture says. Parents, if you love your children, you'll correct your children. They need corrected. If you're going to be in the right place with the kingdom of God, then you need to correct yourself and you need to receive correction from others. 1 Corinthians 11:31. If we'd examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God. John 3:16, this is how God loved the world. He gave his only son. His only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. Now, everybody here knows that scripture. To go on and read it, says there's no judgment against anyone who believes in him. But anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. Everyone who does not believe in him has already been judged. But there's no judgment against anyone who believes in him. What does that mean? There's no condemnation against anyone. Here's what I want you to hear today. Correction is not condemnation. But we've got a lot of people who can't see that different. But see, when you get born again and you're in the kingdom of God, you're not condemned anymore. That's what John 3:17 says. You're not condemned. You're not condemned. But that doesn't mean that you still don't need correction. And so we've got this thing messed up in the church, and we're not getting the church going to the next season, going to the next area, because they're not willing to hear anything that needs to change. John 8, verse 6. I love this scripture, and I want to point this out because it's just been such an instrumental part of my life. John chapter 8, verse 6 says they were trying to trap him into saying something that they could use against him. Remember the woman caught in adultery? They're trying to get Jesus trapped here. And in verse 6, it says that they were trying to trap him, but Jesus stooped down and he wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again, and here's what he said. All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stopped, or he stooped down, and he wrote in the dust again. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Well, you just said I don't condemn you, so what are you doing correcting me? Because he said, I'm not going to condemn you, but you still need some correction. Now quit this. Quit. See, that's what, where are your accusers? Who's the accuser? Satan is the accuser, and he wants to condemn you. And what you've got to understand, when you start feeling condemnation from somebody correcting you, you've got it out of line. Young people, will you hear me? Parents, this is a great conversation to have in your vehicle when you leave church today. I love you, therefore I'm going to correct you, but I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to tell you that I love you so much that God has a plan and purpose for your life, and I'm not condemning you, because if I was to condemn you, you wouldn't get to walk in all of that. But the correction will allow you to walk in all of that. And that's what we have to start seeing in our lives. Love will correct you. Love believes in you. It helps you get past your situation. Love will not tell you that you're all right when you're not. I wore a jacket this morning because I wanted to look really good. But had I come in here with my jacket like this, and like, if I'd have come in here like this, my wife, first and foremost, would have done what? Hey, babe, what? Condemn me. No, you're not here. I might have thought that. But she just said, have you looked at yourself? Or she just said, come here, let me help you. And she'd help me. But why would she have helped me? Because I look goofy. I mean, in fact, if I was to stand up here and preach like this all morning, yeah, Adam's like, he went. People would have had a problem with that. And especially if I'd have done this. And I was walking around like this all morning. But here's the thing, if you can listen to what I'm saying looking like this. If I'd have done this all morning, you'd have probably thought, he's lost it. Got to find another church. See, this wouldn't have been okay. But you know what BJ would have done? BJ, help me out a little bit. Yeah, I want you to help me. What would be the first thing you would do?
Probably do that.
Do that. Thing. I am so offended. What are you thinking trying to correct in me in front of everybody? That's just ridiculous. Does BJ love me? Are you getting the point of what I'm trying to bring? See, and if Ben saw me, Ben would probably say something else. And if I didn't, I can't see it. I mean, really, can you see yourself? Not if you don't have a mirror. So what's he see? What's he going to do? Come on, help. He's like, I ain't touching you. Get your arm in there. So I get my arm in my coat. Now I'm okay. Adam, help me out a little bit. I don't know what I need, but everybody's looking at me funny. I had three people right here publicly humiliate me. And I'll never talk to you, any of you three again. I'm done. I'm finding another church. I'm mad. You can just... Is that not the way people act when they get corrected? But the whole correction was for your benefit. It wasn't for theirs. It wasn't to make you look bad. It was for your benefit. And if we could love people and correct them in a way that would move them to the next place to where people can hear them. See, you couldn't hear me like this. But when I put everything back together and I... Whoa. If we could allow correction to come into our life, we will further the kingdom of God in a way that it's not been furthered. If we would just put ourselves in a... That's all I got today. I got a whole lot more on this. If you want to hear more, in the next couple of weeks, I want to encourage you to plug into the podcast. We're doing some work here in the kingdom of God, and we're putting ourselves in a position to further him. Are you ready for that?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.